This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Now it's time for another Guy Benson Show, Benson Bite, where we bring you the day's most interesting interviews in a bite-sized package. For the full episode, visit GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Joining me here, right next to me, in his studio, quite frankly, is Brian Kilmeade, host of the Brian Kilmeade Show on Fox News Radio, 9 to noon weekdays, and of course, every day he's on the couch, co-host of Fox and Friends. I'll be with you tomorrow. Looking forward to that. I'm filling in for Steve.
Have you picked out an outfit? You ready to go?
I actually have.
You have?
Yeah, I've got the suit ready to go. I've got the tie in mind. You got to look sharp when you're competing, especially with all due respect, the other male co-host.
Lawrence.
Because Lawrence knows he's a sharp dresser.
But here's the thing, Guy. I think Lawrence is going to be on location where he dresses like every man. He dresses like, which is harder to do.
Okay, so in that case, I'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It's just me.
Okay,
yeah,
well
you
then,
can address
oh,
me
the pressure's
no
off.
Right.
Absolutely. LJ's not around. He's out there in the field.
Right.
Right, okay.
I'm feeling
so much better. Brian, I saw you were on the news channel a little while ago talking about this. Neither one of us, to my knowledge, are attorneys, but we follow the news. We're following this case, talking about the New York case. What do you make of it so far? Because, you know, the legal talking heads seem to be mostly in agreement that it's a very weak case against Trump.
Right.
But if you watch some of our competitors in the TV space, I mean, they're wall-to-wall on this, treating it like it's the trial of the century.
It is. For them, it is. This is the moment, because no one's been watching, especially CNN. So they have six or seven lawyers say the same thing, except for Arthur Idala, who does a great job over the last 2 days, who just saying, what are you talking about? There's no crime here. What's the crime? Well, he got capture and kill a story. That's not a crime. To have a story be suppressed, not a crime. To plant a story, not a crime. To come together with a plan to help yourself, help your social life, whether it's your relationship or something else, that is not a crime. How many times do people plant stories in the Washington Post? How many times do so-called sources with the Hillary Clinton camp say they know exactly what her plan's going to be to close out this election? Well, you get that source, unnamed source, to tell you this, or there's some unrest inside the Trump camp. There's Trump camp people, they tell you this, they become a source. So now you have other people planting a story about Marco Rubio in the National Enquirer that says whatever, and they have something on, I believe, Ted Cruz. It says his father, they says his father was in on the JFK assassination.
It's crazy. It's
but ugly. It was in the Inquirer.
Yeah,
so
nasty.
Did that change the primary?
No.
Of course not.
It's just dirty, gross politics.
Right. But
just like the hush money payment to a porn star is gross and dirty and unseemly. The question is any of this a crime? And I guess the argument, again, as a non-lawyer, has been, well, if they categorized the money that was paid to Stormy Daniels a certain way other than what the perfect above board fashion should have been, that could be a crime. They're like, well, that's a misdemeanor and that expired
right,
like years ago. So they had to somehow turn this into like a violation of federal campaign laws that the feds even haven't charged here. They looked at it. They didn't charge. Alvin Bragg's predecessor looked at this, didn't charge. But now leading into the election, they dredge up this thing from years ago and dream up a new way to make it 2-3 dozen felonies.
Yeah.
It reeks to high heaven, Brian.
It does. And you have the president of the United States going there to a court. They didn't fully define what the charges were. So they said, well, just wait when this thing goes to trial. Just wait. Okay, we're waiting. What are the charges? So what they're doing now, according to reports, and it makes sense, they're all just trying to give Michael Cohen some credibility and some corroboration. Because when he gets on the stand in a week or two, or in 2 days after Karen McDougal, I think he's going to go on there, and first thing they're going to say is, weren't you convicted? Didn't you have tax invasion? Weren't you a part of this? Weren't you actually constructing some of the scheme, orchestrating it? And what is your greatest complaint? That your client, this is the best line ever. Jonathan Turley says, I guess the main charge is that he listened to Michael Cohen, his lawyer, and that's Michael Cohen's axe to grind? Do you think Donald Trump was orchestrating this? Michael Cohen is so far behind it. When David Pecker was asked, does Donald Trump know what you were doing? He said, I assume so. The defense says, objection. What do you mean you assume so? So then I guess I may strike it. Donald, you don't know that Donald Trump knew about this, and you can't say or assume it. That's not, you can't use that as evidence.
And Michael Cohen has just no credibility, right? He'll say whatever he has to say on behalf of Trump until they have a falling out, and now it's all negative to Trump. The guy is admittedly a criminal. Michael Cohen. I mean, you're not dealing with high caliber, high character people here. And I'm sure this is what I'm thinking, Brian. They're going to have this just cavalcade of people coming before the jury. They're going to testify, and it'll be a bunch of sordid business, sordid stuff. It's like, okay, Trump, maybe he was directing it. Maybe he was winking at it. Maybe he had no idea or some combination. Even under the worst case scenario where Trump's like, you know, directing everyone to do precisely what he wants, it's still not a felony.
Well, Guy, think about this. One of the things they're saying is that he manipulated election. This scheme affected the outcome of an election. Let's back that up a little bit. Okay. How would the election be affected if Hillary Clinton didn't smash her server? What would have been on that server that we found out? What if Hillary Clinton didn't go outside her campaign to hire Perkins Coie and Mark Elias in order to scheme up this whole Russia hoax situation?
Yeah, what if they didn't pay for the Steele dossier?
Yeah. Yeah, what about, I mean, all that affects an election. And for those people, say, let's take a step back from that. If I knew about Karen McDougal, I wouldn't have voted for Trump. If I knew about Stormy Daniels, I didn't vote for Trump. Really? Did you hear the Access Hollywood tape? It is those two stories to the 20th power. And he still won without a staff. They all basically resigned. He still won in the final hour. So what are you saying? My hope is that those two lawyers are married more to the law than they are to what might be the New York agenda, and two lawyers on the jury. And they're just going to say, look, guys, this is not a crime. That's what my hope is. From what we know, 7 days in, five of the four of those days picking a jury, not a crime.
Yeah, I mean, people, to your last point, I think this is worth thinking about because it's, they're trying to claim it's election interference, and it's like, oh, it's a federal violation of campaign finance laws because they categorize an expense this way instead of that way. Yeah. And it was, you know, paying off money to this woman that he was having an affair with, allegedly. He denies it, but I mean, I believe it. I think he was absolutely doing it. And he had all sorts of affairs throughout his life. People know this about Donald Trump. No one going into the 2016 election was sitting there saying, I think Donald Trump's been nothing but an upstanding citizen who has always been 100% faithful to his wives.
I know I don't have to tell you this, but Bill Clinton had a few things going on when he was governor of Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
Remember they had the bimbo eruption team?
Yep.
So does that mean that if I knew about all the bimbos, I might have voted for George H.W. Bush? I don't think so. It was built in, the 60 Minutes interview.
Yep.
You saw all these people come out prior to it. Then you saw the Paula Jones accusation. He still got reelected. So at any point, we could go back in the past. Now, if JFK ran for re-election, now that we know what went on in 3 years, can you imagine what would have come out in 2024 about JFK? Probably a lot. FDR, probably a lot, right? He basically had a full-blown relationship and ignored his wife for 8 years. So that's a pretty big deal. In this day and age, I guess we would have impeached him.
Maybe.
Or he wouldn't have got elected.
Right.
That's what we're supposed to assume.
Yeah, which I don't think passes the smell test.
No.
So you've got, and by the way, as I said, to me, three of the most important points on this from the legal standpoint are what I said earlier, which is number one, they're trying to say like they're enforcing federal campaign finance laws that the feds themselves did not want to charge on this. They looked at it and said no. The guy before Bragg looked at it and said no. And then the judge presiding over the case, who is so often siding with the prosecution and with Bragg's office, the man donated to Joe Biden's campaign. Like, I am not, you know this about, I am not a big Trump guy. I'm not waving the red flag with the Make America
Great
Again.
But you're being fair, you're fair to him.
I'm fair to him, I think. And when he's wrong, and I went after him yesterday on something where I disagreed and I said it, when I think he deserves it, I say it. The judge in New York City overseeing this, I think, politicized to the hilt case. It's just bogus, BS. The judge donated to Joe Biden, the opponent of Donald Trump in the last election. And now there's a rematch. And you've got the guy with the gavel in the black robe sitting there up there on the bench making all these decisions about whether or not this man is going to potentially become a convicted felon in time for the election. He's a donor to the other guy's campaign. How is that? I don't know. How is that allowed?
You know, they go, you're going after his daughter. His daughter's 35. His daughter's got a $4 million contract with Adam Schiff as a consultant.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. So Adam Schiff is the number one rival of Donald Trump when he was president of the United States and after.
And he's running for Senate right now.
So, but the thing is, if you're a judge, what they always say is, it's so bizarre. The system has it. A judge will decide if he or she should recuse himself. Shouldn't we have an outside person decide if your wires are crossed in a certain case? Or if you think, hey, you know what, Juan Merzan, I know you pretty well, buddy. It seems like you're pretty fixated on this guy. I recommend I pull you back. You know, we're both in the judge business. Pull back.
Yeah, it's like, and even just for public appearance, if you want this to look legitimate on the up and up, which to many Americans, including non-Trump fans, it already doesn't. Then you put someone presiding over the trial who donated to the Democrat opponent of Donald Trump, and now they're running against each other again, and the guy's daughter is making millions of dollars from the Democrats in this exact election cycle. Can you not just find any other judge in Manhattan who didn't donate to Joe Biden?
I mean, this is one of those dynamic days with the immunity trial going on. The audio was fascinating. And then when we got up today at 6:30 in the morning, we got a note last night that there was going to be a 6 a.m. Trump event. We don't know what it is. Next thing you know, he's meeting with the steel union. He's got 200 to 500 people out there, and it is electric. And we're going to it live. And prior to him getting out of his SUV, they're chanting his name. These guys are legitimate hard hat guys with vests on. 500 guys chanting his name in New York City, two blocks from his place. And the guy comes out and speaks. Then he comes and talks to the press. You know who doesn't talk to the press? The president. No hood doesn't take any interviews with the president. You got the former president with two active trials going on, right? One, consequential trials. He had to come up with $175 million 2 weeks ago. He's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he walks over to a bunch of cameras and says, throw out your questions. I mean, and hearing them chant USA and Trump while he does that in New York City.
Union guys. And
it was so impressive. I mean, you can't script that in the bodega thing. These are one of the two big stories of the week.
I was going to say that. I know you have to go here in just a second, but he's kind of ball and chain tied to New York for a while. He can't really leave very much. The campaign's still figuring out ways to get him out of the courthouse into very interesting settings, including the bodega, highlighting crime, highlighting the unfairness of Alvin Bragg. They've been making some smart moves, I think.
Big, really good moves. And now they got, Columbia is probably going to be a big decision after Speaker Johnson got kind of yelled at. He looked good. But, you know, if you put him into a hostile environment, it could go south. Right now, we put him to two very positive environments that aren't scripted. There's no extras there like Hillary Clinton did. These are real people. But the next question is, go to a supermarket, point out how expensive everything is for New Yorkers. I would go in front of the Danny Penny subway and say, down here, a Marine stood up and is a hero, and the same guy that's screwing me is screwing him,
yeah, going
Alvin
to
Bragg.
Daniel Penny station makes a lot of sense. Going to the grocery store and doing a little compare and contrast on the sticker price, then maybe pay for some people's groceries.
Yeah.
He loves that kind of move. This is kind of like the political chess game they're playing when the powers that be are throwing everything legally at him in this city right now. Brian Kilmeade, we always listen to you 9 to noon on Fox News Radio. For the previous 3 hours each morning, you're co-hosting Fox and Friends. I'll be joining the party tomorrow morning. Looking forward to that.
And they did a great job with our studio, right?
Oh, yeah. They put my name up here.
Yeah, 7.
I said, get Brian Kilmeade's name out of here.
Right.
I can't see
that. I heard you yelling.
I can't stand the guy.
I got here a little early, berating
everyone.
Right.
That's bellowing at the top
of
my
lungs. They were crying as usual.
Yeah,
what else?
The
is
beatings
there?
Will continue until morale improves. On the Guy Benson Show, Brian, thanks.
Go get him.
All right.
Thanks.
We'll be right back after this. Just getting started on this Thursday from New York.
That was yet another Benson Bite. For full episodes of The Guy Benson Show, go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.